Turn with me to Psalms 121. We're going to look at that passage of Scripture in just a moment. We're so glad to see you today. It's interesting that there are a lot of folks who are traveling today, and the psalm that we're going to look at today has something perhaps for our travelers, if you will. So we'll look at that passage in just a moment. Most of you are aware, perhaps, that I'm average Joe citizen. But during the day, I am a hospice chaplain for a home care and hospice agency in Raleigh. And as a part of the role that I play as chaplain, I have the privilege of providing spiritual care for patients who are terminally ill. And most of these patients have illnesses ranging from Alzheimer's to cancer, lung disease, all types of illnesses in which a doctor has certified that they have 6 months or less to live, although that's not always the case. There have been some patients that we brought into hospice care. Doctors said they had 6 months to live, and a year and a half later, we're still providing care for them. And that's an amazing thing. I had the joy of ministering to one lady with this past year, and her doctors gave her 6 months, and a year later, she was saying, well, the doctors didn't seem to know what they were talking about this time, did they? And she was celebrating a year. But then after she passed that year mark, she began to decline and later passed away. Many of the patients that I provide care for have a variety of issues, not just their physical issues that they're facing, but they also deal with other issues as well, emotional issues. They deal with spiritual issues. Some of the patients are as old as 103. The youngest patient that I've had was 17, who has Huntington's disease. He watched his father die from Huntington's disease, and now he has it, and his time is drawing pretty close to an end. Many of these patients, not only do they deal with the spiritual issues and physical issues and emotional issues, but their families also deal with these issues. And so I have the joy and the challenge of helping these families travel that journey. I've noticed that there are some things certainly in common about these who that I provide care for. And, of course, the most common thing is that all of them are going through a crisis, whether it's them personally or their families, and friends who are involved with them. They're all going through a crisis, and they all handle that crisis in different ways. Some of the patients that I have the joy of providing care for are Christians who were very much so involved in their church. And so their faith is strong, and they have support from their church families who visit with them and who send cards to them, and they enjoy having Scripture read to them. I also provide care for some who are Christians but who have not been in church in quite a number of years. Perhaps at some point they fell away from church. A life came along, and they became involved in other things, jobs and families, and they became less involved in the church. Some left the church because of issues within the church and things that upset them or whatever. Some are Christians who just left their faith unattended to, and now they're facing a crisis, and they're beginning once again to reconnect with God. There are some patients that I provide care for who have had no contact with the church. And you know, when I was growing up as a child, just 10 years ago, it was not unusual for families to be in church, even though families may not had not gone to church. There were those who had families who were connected to church. There was some connection that you had with church. It's not unusual today for me to encounter almost entire generations of family who have had no connection with church, and therefore they don't have that extra resource of strength to call upon. Whatever their status is, they all have that one common denominator, and that is that they're going through a crisis and they're looking for help. They're calling out for help. They're looking for some answers to the challenges that they're meeting and facing in their lives. Psalms 121 is a passage of Scripture, I think, that challenges us or that helps us in regards to answering that question of where is my help and what can I look for in regards to the help that I may have before me. Where can I find help? It's certainly a question that many of us may ask in our lives as we go through the challenges of life. This Psalms 121 is one of 15 Psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent. If you have your Bibles open, you may notice at the top of Psalms 121, you may see the words of Song of Ascent. How many of you see that in your scriptures? Do you see those words of Song of Ascent? If you'll notice from Psalms 120 to 134, 35, you'll find those words above the Psalms. These are a group of psalms that were considered songs that were sung quite often by the Hebrew pilgrims as they were on the road to Jerusalem. Now, some have looked at these and have come up with different an understanding of the psalm. Some believe that the psalms were written, some of these were written by David, not all of these were. Some were written by other psalmists. That these psalms were written back in the day of David, as David and the nation of Israel were facing all of the enemies that they were facing, and that these were songs that were sung as they were encountering the crises and the challenges that they were encountering as they were battling against their enemies. Some believe that these songs developed a little bit later on, perhaps when the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, is together, and the Hebrew pilgrims were travel from Jericho or other places to Jerusalem to observe the feast, the three feasts that they observed every year. I think it's a combination of the two. David and other psalmists wrote these songs back in the day of early part of the kingdom, and throughout the generations they would sing these songs as they traveled and sing these songs as they would face the challenges and the crises that they faced. And so as we look at these psalms, these 15 psalms that are called the Songs of Ascent, these pilgrims would travel from Jericho, perhaps, to Jerusalem. And the distance between Jericho to Jerusalem is about 22 miles, and it's uphill. And so, therefore, you get the songs of our psalms, our songs of ascent. I'm not talking about I smell ascent, but, you know, ascend, I ascend, the songs of ascent. And during this pilgrimage from Jericho to Jerusalem, as they traveled, they were traveling uphill. If you're in Jericho, you'll be up below sea level by 850 feet. As you travel to Jerusalem, you're going upward, you know, about 2,400 feet above sea level. So it was a travel going up. So therefore, the songs of ascent, as some understand it to be. Some looked at it as walking up the steps to the temple in Jerusalem, the songs of ascent. But whatever the case may be, it was certainly would have been a long, hard day's journey as they traveled from Jericho, Jerusalem. If you were in good shape, you could probably travel in a day. If you were in average shape, maybe like me, you might could travel in 2 days. What do you think, Roland? Maybe 2 days. I could make it in about 2 days, perhaps, if you traveled slowly. I travel slowly. I've got Marsha to pull in behind me, so I travel slowly. So whatever amount of time it took you, the thing that you certainly had to keep in mind was that traveling, that the distance. And not only the distance, but the traveling uphill. There were many things that you had to deal with. So these psalms are divided actually into five groups, in three groups of five, and each of these deal with the trouble that they faced, the trust that they encountered with God, and the triumph that they had with God during this time of traveling. So let's look together at Psalms 121 and find what God has for us today as we think about that question of where's my help? Psalms 121, the scripture reads, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We ask God to bless this reading of His Holy Scriptures. I can imagine or picture in my mind the pilgrims as they're walking that road of singing this song, seeking God's blessing. That's why I said it was a psalm for travelers. There are many people today who will read this psalm before they begin a journey, asking for God's traveling mercies for them as they begin, asking for God to protect them as they travel for whatever journey they may be on. Where can I find help? We find the psalmist asking in this first portion of this passage of Scripture. There's two ways to look at this. Notice that the psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. I'll lift up my eyes to the hills. You could look at this as a way of looking to the hills for help. Perhaps as the Hebrew pilgrims were beginning that march towards Jerusalem, they would look up towards the mountain, looking up and thinking that as we travel, we're looking up to the mountaintop, we're headed towards the temple, we're headed to worship God, and so we're looking there for our help. We're looking for that mountaintop experience. How many of us look for that mountaintop experience in our lives? We enjoy those mountaintop experiences. Whenever, as we travel a journey through life, we want more and more of those mountaintop experiences where we feel exuberance, where we feel satisfied, where we feel content, where we feel excited about the things that are happening in our lives. As the young people were sharing with us last Sunday about their experience at camp and the joy and the exuberance that they felt when they're at camp that week, as they felt a new presence of the Lord, it reminded me of my first encounter with Christ when I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. Do you remember that experience? Do you remember when you first met Christ as your Savior? Do you remember the joy that you felt? Do you remember the excitement that you felt? Do you remember the relief that you felt in your heart and your life and just how much contentment there was? I remember that as a child. Whenever I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was 11 years old when I made a profession of faith. And I was so excited about being a Christian that whenever I went home after being baptized that Sunday, that next week in my neighborhood, I just had to tell everybody I knew that I'd been baptized. I was so excited about it. And my brother, who's older than I, had a friend named Gerald. And Gerald didn't go to church. His family were not involved in church. And Gerald's mother didn't drive, and Gerald didn't have a license. And Gerald was about 18. And we lived in town, downtown area. And quite often I would see Gerald walking by our house to go to town. And one day when I saw Gerald coming down the street, I ran down to the bottom of our driveway and I said, Gerald, I got baptized. I'm a Christian. And he looked at me like, okay. And are you a Christian? And he kept going. And then I waited for him to come back through and I ran back down to the bottom of the driveway. Gerald, are you a Christian? I got baptized. How about you? And every time Gerald would come by, I would run down to the bottom of the driveway because I was so excited. The joy of salvation. I wanted to share it. So Gerald finally got to the point where he'd find another route to go to town, so he wouldn't have to encounter me, perhaps. But you remember that joy, and then what happens? Life kind of comes along. We get involved in other things. We go off to college. We get married. We have children. We have jobs, and other things begin to interfere in our lives, and we lose a little bit of touch with that joy of our salvation. But you know what? We can reclaim it as we come to the house of the Lord to worship. And that's why it's such a joy to be able to come together to gather God's people, to reclaim that joy. Every week we have an opportunity to reclaim that joy of our salvation when we come together to lift up our hearts together in praise. And so that's why I commend you for your presence on Sundays and for your presence and coming to worship and seeking God's blessings. What a joy it is. We look for those mountaintop experiences. Some look for pleasures as the help that they want in their lives. It wasn't uncommon in the day in which this passage was written and in later years as the pilgrims traveled to Jerusalem, it wasn't unusual for them to find places and tabernacles of worship to idols in the mountains as they traveled on their way to Jerusalem. There were places of pleasure, perhaps, that they encountered on their way to Jerusalem. Some look for that as they travel along their journey. We all look for things of pleasure in the mountains. All of us like to go to the mountains. for a time of vacation. We like to go have fun in the mountains, relax. It's a mountaintop experience. Some may look at the hills and see it as a time of danger. David said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Was he looking up to the hills for strength and for encouragement? Or was he looking towards the hills because and asking for help? Because when he looked towards those hills, he also saw danger. There were those who would cause danger as these pilgrims traveled to Jerusalem. The mountains had steep climbs and slippery slopes. As you walked through those that passageway onto Jerusalem, you could slip on the mountainside. Or perhaps there was that concern about robbers and thieves who often would hide behind the rocks in the mountain place as they traveled up that mountain. In our day, there's all sorts of helps that we look for in our lives that are not necessarily helps. When trouble and crisis come into our lives, we look for things that aren't always helpful to us. Sometimes when we're going through the crisis of life and death, or we're going through the crisis of jobs, or going through the crisis of relationships, we begin to look towards other things for our help. We may look towards drugs. We may look towards alcohol. We may look towards pleasure. We may look towards other forms of excitement in our lives, trying to find help. We may look for help in books. We may look for help in all kinds of civic organizations. We may look for help in societal ways, looking for the help that we need in our lives to face the challenges of our lives. And sometimes those help becomes hills of challenges for us and doesn't necessarily bring the help that we really need within our lives. They may bring a temporary help to us, but not an everlasting, permanent help within our lives. We all of us ask that question, where can I get help? We all have at some point in our lives asked that question as we've traveled through life, where can I find help? Where can I find help? We all are aware that we need help at times in our lives. All of us have different circumstances that we face in our lives, just as these pilgrims faced as they traveled to Jerusalem. There are different things that they faced. We face different circumstances in our lives. We face sickness. All of us at some point in our lives will, if we haven't already faced sickness, all of us will have a moment in our lives when things are not well with us physically. It may be a temporary sickness, or it could be a sickness that becomes terminal for us. We all will face it. Many times we face job loss, and in our society today, that's not quite so uncommon. There are many people today who are facing job loss. Either they've lost their jobs completely, or they've lost their full-time jobs and facing challenges in that respect, the cutback in their job, cutback in their pay. We many times deal with relationship issues. That's always a challenge for us in our lives. We deal with relationships with boyfriends and girlfriends. We deal with relationships with husbands and wives. We deal with our relationships with fathers and mothers and children. The parental conflicts that we encounter in our lives are challenges to us. We deal with the issue of debt. We go into debt. And we're facing that challenge of how do we get out of debt? How can we manage this crisis within our lives? We deal with emotional crises. There are times when we just become so overwhelmed with the challenges of life that we just can't handle it emotionally. All of us have times in our lives when we cry out, where is my help? Where can I find help? What am I going to do? How am I going to handle? How am I going to manage what I'm facing within our lives? We've all been there when the pressures come to us in life. Oh gosh, 25 years ago at least, Marcia's parents passed away. Many of you remember Jack and Barbara Kennedy. They were members here at First Baptist years ago. And Jack passed away in 87. Barbara passed away in 89. And when Marcia's mother passed away, she and I were in upstate South Carolina. I was pastoring a church there. We'd been there 4 years. And when Marcia's mother passed away, Marcia's sister Jennifer was 12 years old and was left in the home. And we felt the challenge that we needed to take guardianship of Jennifer. And there were some other family members who also felt that they wanted guardianship of Jennifer. And so there was an issue of deciding who. And our lawyers encouraged us at the time that we should move here to Cary, that if we really wanted to provide good care for Jennifer, that it would be best to move here to Cary and allow her to stay here in the area in which she was so that she'd be surrounded by friends and other family members instead of rooting her up and moving her away. And so, all of a sudden, we had to make a move. We were at a church. We'd been there 4 years, felt like we were going to be there a long time beyond that. But all of a sudden, we were in the middle of a crisis, and we had to move. And so we did, and I moved here without a call to a church. Marcia moved, was able to find, through Virginia Ann, a job at a local bank. She got a job here first, and then I moved up afterwards. And moved here without a job. As soon as I hit the land here in Cary, we found an apartment. We moved into the apartment, and I remember unloading that silly truck. Good gracious, Lord, I don't want to do that ever again. Carrying refrigerators and couches up three. I'm not fit for that anymore, Andrew. I just don't know what to do about that. But there we were, and so the first week was just getting things moved in. The second week, I went out searching for a job and found a job down here at the little mall. What do they call that thing now? Whatever that little place is down there at the airport. Found a job at Frugal Frank's Shoe Store. Anybody remember Frugal Frank's Shoe Store? Found a job at Frugal Frank's. They were just opening up, and so I helped open up that store, and then 4 weeks later got a job at Sears. And then from there, but there was such a crisis in our lives all of a sudden of having to deal with uprooting. Well, we had three children, and so we uprooted our children to move, and we had to find jobs. And later on, after I began to work at Sears, I saw that Macedonia United Methodist Church was looking for a minister of education. And so I thought, well, I'm Baptist, but who knows? So I tried. I called the pastor and said, I'm looking for a position. And he said, okay, do you have any experience in the Methodist Church? I said, no, I'm Baptist. He said, okay, come on, let's hire you. And so there I was at the Methodist Church at Macedonia United Methodist for a couple of years, and we enjoyed our time there. God began to put things into place for us. But the point that I'm trying to make is that we all have those pressures of what are we going to do? We're having to move. We're having to make changes in our lives. Where is our help going to come from? We uproot our lives sometimes to move on. But yet, when we look back at the moment, we find that, God is in there working. God is in there working. Our lives may look like they're falling apart, but yet God is in there working in the midst of our lives. Where do we look? Do we look within us? Do we look without us? So where do we look? The psalmist says that we look above. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The psalmist writes in this passage of the scripture as he's facing that journey, as he's facing that crisis perhaps in his life, as they're battling whatever the issue is at the moment, that David looks and he sees the challenge and he says, where's my help going to come from? And I'm not so sure as much as a question as it is more of a statement. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. We have that experience in our lives, as I said, where we ask that question, where